Dean.
Thanks, Dean. My name's Bradley, I'm an addict. It has been said that brain damage and the mic don't manage, so we'll see how we go, you know. It's a real privilege to be asked to do this. And what I mean by that is getting clean and getting into recovery is something that's achieved by so few and squandered by so many. And tonight, I'm not here. I'm not out there squandering it, out there lost in it all, Twilight Zone, you know. That's the way it goes for me. My path, the path I took to get here, it's been a long one, like best part of 20 years. And that path has been littered with treatment centres, needles, treatment centres, needles, and everything that goes with that, you know. And within the hopelessness of all that, the symptoms of that hopelessness was a complete inability to create a positive outlook. No matter what you present in front of me, there's nothing there, you know, I'm gone. And, it's great to come here tonight because it's landed on the Friday and I'm a year clean today. Thanks. Yeah, I'll tell you a bit about myself. I'm from up north, as you probably guessed. And the environment that was on offer to me in regards to values and beliefs and all the rest of it was out there, you know. I had to be seen. I was one of them kids that had to be seen. And the only way I could ever really be seen or feel I was seen was by joining my peer group that were around me at the time. And, the values that was within that was, you had to be tough. You had to have done a bit of jail. You had to be one for the ladies. You had to be funny. And you had to be a good burglar. And I were none of them things. I were none of them things. But I did my best to construct those personas. And I guess within all that, I concealed my true identity. And the more I ran with that, the more lost I got. And, you throw some heavy-duty narcotics into the mix and, I'm in outer space. I'm not here. I'm in that existential, depersonalised state where nothing's real. I'm kind of in the Twilight Zone in it all, And that's the way it went on for a long, long time. And treatment centres... I managed to break the cycle there and do the detox and everything else. And I don't know, some of the things that I were told in there, like, if you get a trigger, what are your triggers? And if that leads to a craving, surf the craving. Surf the craving. Stop and think. So like me, never had any experience or cultivating any kind of hope or anything like that. The only thing I ever know is drugs and, the way I think, which leans towards hopelessness. Probably the worst thing I could do is stop and try and think, So, I tried various things, various ideas, on how we were going to do it this time. And along the road, you know, it was like mid-90s, I was in treatment, I was 25, I'm 41 now, and there was eight of them. And during that journey, you know, I would go through this process every single time. I'd patch myself up, get well, and then, you know, I'd suddenly be well enough to get sick again, and off we go again, you know. And that's the way it went for a long time. You know, and I came in here, but there was just so much more to explore for me. You know, I tried to intervene many times regarding trying to create the end of the road that we talk about in here, and it came in its time for whatever reason. I guess when the like searching were done and the ideas on how it were going to go down, you know, I had to come to that place when there were no more questions to really ask. And you know, along that road, I tried unconventional methods. You know, the one-stop shop to make it all stop, Ibogaine. And I detoxed with Ibogaine twice, and it was effective in regards to no residual withdrawals after, you know, heavy-duty methadone habit and, you know, opioids. And, you know, I just ended up back in the same place every time. It didn't do what it promised. So, you know, that was my last port of call, really. But, you know, along that road, it got really bizarre, lost the plot completely, like out there somewhere, and I started to like believe different things and try and negotiate, and you know, none of it amounted to anything. I remember, you know, like walking on a road in North London, and I used to go to this house where they were like really heavy duty seasoned drug users in there. I used to go there every morning, and I would go in there and I'd be full of this like information, you know, did you know that if you mix diphenhydramine with opioids, it maximises the potential of it? And did you know that Emily Pankhurst of the suffragette movement slashed the rock of Venus, and that was painted by Velasquez? And I just go on with this information. They eventually had knocked the letterbox and it had opened up, and don't let him in. Don't let him in, because he ruins my buzz. And I remember like walking like up in North London, and think feeling really rejected. You know, like, well, and I really did run it by myself that it really does come to something when the most seasoned professionals in this game won't answer the door to you. You know, and that's how it went. On another particular occasion, I was like out there again somewhere, and you know, and I was sat at home and I was watching TV, and you know, I was like floundering around doing a bit of cleaning up, and you know, and I'm watching the TV, and I see Dog the Bounty Hunter come on, and I'm like, you know, like where they go out, they look for whoever, the fugitive, you know, and they get him, and they say, you know, kid, you gotta get off the drugs, you know. And they hold hands and they say a little prayer and that, and they stamp the gear into ground, and then they throw him into back at car and give him his like last cigarette before he goes and turns his life around. And I thought, I know it's a long shot, but it just might work. And I was, you know, really geared up to write a compelling letter of urgency to Dog the Bounty Hunter to get me out of there, you know. And I was deadly serious, you know. But, you know, being out there, you know, and that end of the road meeting me, thanks. You know, it happened in its time, like I said, for whatever reason, but it happened. And when it had happened, I no longer had that question looming over me, when's it going to happen again? Because I know it's going to happen again. You know, it was just like out of ideas, and that's it, you know. Because, you know, for me, coming in and out of here, I had so many things to ask, and like in the presence of the uncertain, you know, of uncertainty, you know, in regards to the unknown, within that space of the unknown, I would always create a negative fantasy of what I thought this were going to be. You know, the idea of like 90 meetings in 90 days, I was quite horrified. You know, I was like, wow, that's just too much. That's like a life sentence. And that was the perception that I projected forward of what this were all about. And I've got to admit that one of the best, I've heard lots of things in here, but the best thing I did here was 90 meetings in 90 days, because I did it, you know, and I continue to do it. And for me, as a result of doing that and getting involved in all this, all of it, I get to live and enjoy my life without drugs, something I never could envisage. It was always out of my grasp, you know, and you know, why do I come here? I come here to mutually share my reality with everyone, with us. And in all that, somewhere, I gain a better perspective. And that's crucial. You know, that's absolutely crucial. And, you know, it goes on. The best thing I've got from this, I feel a human being with hope today, as opposed to feeling subhuman with no hope. And that's been the biggest gift so far, you know. Because if my perception's not relatively healthy, nothing means nothing to me. Everything's very grey, and I lose the ability to create some hope for myself, and that's how it's always gone down for me, you know. So I do this. It's the best thing I've ever done, the best thing, because now the momentum's going. I managed to stop smoking. I look after myself. My values have changed. My beliefs have changed. I no longer engage in the act of, you know, self-destruction in any shape or form. In any shape or form. Yeah, it's the best thing I ever did, and I could never envisage ever being happy. And I found every other place I was looking for, you know, this solace or something, I never found it in any of those places I were looking. I found it here eventually, you know, and best thing I ever did. But, you know, thanks for letting me share. I'll leave it there.